I don't know about you, but something that helped me a ton when I was wanting to grow in my faith and learn more about my faith was reading the writings of the saints. St. Pope John Paul II in particular was one that has written such beautiful things about theology of the body, love and marriage, evangelization, human life, and so much more. But his writings can be difficult to comprehend, especially when you're just getting started reading his work. So I'm excited to share with you that Laura Jean from the Beloved Collective is launching a brand new membership program to help you dive into JP2's writing in a guided community setting. There is so much beauty to be found in his work. Plus, you get plugged into a Catholic community to dive into it all together. So if this sounds like something that's up your alley and you want to learn more, click the link in the show notes to sign up for the waitlist so that you can grab a spot at the Carol Project as soon as the membership launches. Hey, I'm your host, Mari Wagner, and you're listening to the Ever Be Podcast, where faith meets lifestyle. I'm so excited you're here. Whether you're a new listener or a longtime follower, I know there's something here for you. Pull up a chair and listen in for insightful, real-life conversations and actionable steps on how to claim the full life God created you for. If you're a woman desiring to live a Christ-centered life in today's modern world, then this is for you. Welcome to Ever Be. Welcome back, everybody. Happy Wednesday. We are here with another episode at Ever Be, and today is going to be a good one. Today, I'm going to be sharing my testimony, my story, how I came to know the Lord and deepen my relationship with Him. And I'm excited to share this one because it's like the biggest story of my life, pretty much. The story of how the Lord has captured my heart and convicted me to give my entire life to Him. So I'm excited to share it today. I'm excited to share this part of my life with you. And can I just say, I just love that we're doing this whole podcast. I love that I'm recording this right now, because if you haven't heard episode one, I basically go into the reason why I wanted to start this podcast was literally so we could go deep and so that we can have like the raw, good, meaningful conversations. And I realized as I was like preparing for this episode that there's so much of my story that I haven't shared yet. And not because I haven't wanted to or because it's not meaningful, but just because there's just like these little details that I don't know, like I just don't really make sense in a feed post or in a reel, and only really make sense if you tell the whole context of the story. So a lot of this really is like never before shared, and I'm just excited to bring it all to the light and to just share with you how amazing the Lord has been in my life. So let's start in the beginning. I was born and raised Catholic. My family is from Colombia, South America. And I would say, at least back then when I was born, and maybe still now, I don't know, times have changed. But at least when I was born, like a lot of Latin American countries and like probably the majority of the population in Latin American countries were Catholic or are Catholic. And so my family is Catholic. And I, like I said, was born and raised Catholic. And what I came to realize looking back now is that I was raised more in like a culturally Catholic setting, not really like a practicing Catholic setting. So what that looked like practically was like I knew who God was, and like every good Catholic grandma and mom, my mom and my grandma taught me to love Mary. So I knew about that. And we went to church sometimes, although it wasn't every Sunday. But I grew up knowing what the faith was. I grew up knowing who the Lord was and that He was my Father. But other than that, there wasn't much depth to it. I didn't really have like a personal relationship. Like God was more of like a distant grandfather that like looked upon me, you know, but wasn't really like an active player in my life. And really, faith to me felt more of like kind of like a fairy tale, kind of like a fable story, like one of those things that you just like heard a lot growing up, but wasn't really like real. I remember my grandma, she would always play out the creation story for us. These memories are so vivid to me of me being like, I don't know, like between the ages of like 5 and 8, probably, where my grandma would come visit us from Colombia and stay with us for a few weeks or like a month at a time. And she'd open the Bible and it was always chapter one. It was always Genesis chapter one, like the creation story in the beginning, right? And she would go to the bath. She would like hide us in the bathroom and turn the lights off. And she would open the Bible and start reading, I think maybe from memory, or I don't remember if she had a flashlight or something like that, you know, but she would start in the beginning, you know, it was dark. And then And then there were stars. And then there was, you know, the moon and the sun. And she would have these little flashlights to like emulate the stars. And then she would, you know, turn on the light or start opening the door to show like the brightness of the sun and the moon that was shining in. And she made that one creation story so vivid and so captivating for me. And so that's a memory I have of when I was little. But all in all, it kind of made the faith, like I said, like a story, like a fable, like a fantasy story that you just hear growing up that's kind of like, oh, wow, like captivating, but like that's not real. You know what I mean? But even so, I always had an interest in my faith. And those little moments that I had when I was little with my grandma and with my mom talking to me about, you know, God and Mary, those stuck with me. And I always had a love for my faith and an interest in my faith. And growing up, I went to youth group. I did some retreats in middle school and high school. So I would say I was probably more involved than maybe like the average kid. Not all my friends were as involved in church as I was. But like I said, there still wasn't like that personal component of my relationship with the Lord. Like it was still kind of like an extracurricular that I was like proud to have in my life. But it wasn't something that I felt like I owned and I knew why or what I was doing really. And even though I was involved in all these kind of like youth group type stuff, it wasn't something that really, like faith wasn't necessarily something that like defined my life or my family's life. We didn't really live out our faith besides going to Mass on Sunday. And even then, we didn't always go to Mass every Sunday. Being in Seattle, there's like way more cloudy days than not. And so when the sun came out, sometimes we were like, oh yeah, like let's go on a hike, like let's go to the park and it's fine. Like God will understand, you know, and we would like skip Mass one day because it was like a really nice day out and we just wanted to be outside. Or maybe a new movie would come out and we were like, oh yeah, like we didn't make it to Mass this morning. Like, that's okay. We're going to go to the movies. And well, I guess we missed evening Mass too. So, you know, we would just kind of be on the back burner. And it was just kind of something that like we grew up identifying as Catholic, but it wasn't what defined us. And it wasn't like a practice that our family actually had. And so sometimes I look back and I wonder like, how did I stay Catholic? Or like, how did I keep an interest throughout middle school and high school when it wasn't that big of a deal for my family or when it wasn't really like a huge part of our family life? And as I was reflecting, I see the way the Lord allowed little moments of encounter in my life that increased my faith and that kept me close to Him in some way. For example, my first interaction with adoration, my first encounter with Jesus in the Eucharist was on a retreat in eighth grade, I think. At that point, I had only been on like some local mission trips and I didn't really know what a retreat was. And so when I signed up for this retreat, I remember going and being confused pretty much the whole weekend as to like why we weren't like pulling weeds or like painting someone's house or like doing community service work because that's all I'd ever done on mission trips. And I came to find out that a retreat is really more of like a prayerful time of reflection, which you might already know that, but eighth grade Mari did not. And so they had an adoration night one night and they told us about how we were going to have a time of prayer, a time of silence. And we did like a whole rosary around the campus and then ended in like the main stage area. And they had Jesus exposed in the Eucharist. All the middle schoolers were sitting down on the ground and they had worship music going on and the lights were dimmed and there was candles and stuff like that. And I remember the ambiance was like really peaceful and really beautiful. And I felt like this draw to Jesus in the Eucharist and this awe and truly this like adoration in my heart. It's like my soul knew, which obviously it did. It's like my soul knew like the King was before me. But yet I wasn't really sure like what the gravity of that really meant. I just knew it was holy and it was good. And the priest started processing Jesus around the aisles to the different students. And he would stop in front of each kid and allow them to have a moment with Jesus in the Eucharist right in front of them. And I'd never seen that before. I don't even know if I had been to adoration before, like at my parish. So this was a pretty powerful like first experience of adoration in general. And I remember feeling this anticipation and like this nervousness as the priest was getting closer to me because I was like, oh my gosh, like, what am I supposed to do? Like, what's about to happen? Like, who is this, you know? And the priest is coming by in front of every student, every kid. And he comes in front of me and he raises the monstrance above my face. And I remember this vividly, like in my head, I remember the room getting dark. Like I remember like it seemed like my surroundings just like dimmed and like this glow just like came from the Eucharist. Now, it wasn't anything like supernaturally crazy. Like maybe it was the spotlight if there was one on Jesus. I don't know. But like the room went dark and there was just a glow around our Lord in the Eucharist, in the monstrance. And my breath was taken away. And I remember like I looked at him and I knew that was the Lord. And I remember I took the humerus veil, like that fabric that the priest wears on around him that he uses to grab the monstrance. We were able to touch that and kiss it. And I remember I grabbed it and kissed it and almost felt like I had to look away from Jesus because I just knew he was the Lord and I just felt unworthy. And I just, you know, I looked at him for a second and then I bowed my head and kissed the veil and then the priest moved on to the next person. And that was a very powerful moment for me. And I wouldn't say that that like changed my life. Like it wasn't like the next day I was like Mother Teresa, like not at all. But it left a lasting impression in my heart. And it made, the Lord made sure that I knew that his body and blood were truly present in the Eucharist. And I never doubted that for the rest of my life. I never had a moment where I wondered, is this just a symbol? Like I just knew from that moment that that was him. Later down the road, a few years later, I got the opportunity to go to a Steubenville conference, which are really popular now. It's kind of like a Sikh, I think, for like middle school and high school again, or maybe it's just for high school. I can't remember. I think I went in high school, but I was able to have another encounter like that with adoration and in this beautiful setting with all these young kids and music and just kind of having that powerful experience in front of the Lord in adoration. And at that same conference, you know, I started hearing these speakers that I had never heard before. I heard Jason Everett and maybe even Sarah Swofford, or I can't remember who else was there, but that was the first time that I really heard these messages of like hope and joy and virtue and chastity and faith and how to do these things in the everyday life and how your faith should be a part of your life. I had never heard messages like these before. Because again, it wasn't something that was really talked about in my house and it wasn't really something that was present in my community either. I mean, I'm grateful for my parents for encouraging me to go on these things and for sending me on these things, even though I know now where they were at in their faith at that time. And they weren't very strong in their faith. They didn't really know anything about their faith. They just kind of did things because that's what you do as a Catholic and you had to like check the boxes, you know, but they weren't really catechized or didn't really have a relationship with Jesus. And it wasn't really until my mom went through her own reversion, kind of like mid to later high school years for me, that our whole family started coming back to the church and started changing. And it was a really beautiful process. And when all that started happening, I kind of started to realize like, wow, like my family is kind of different. Like, there's not a lot of people around me who are really practicing Catholics and my family's like kind of starting to get into this and going to church a lot more. Like all of a sudden my mom's like, we are never skipping a Sunday mass. Like, you know, we complained. We were like, oh my gosh, mom, this sucks. But she was very firm on that and so grateful she was. And, you know, my family started to come back and all these things were happening at home. Then I would go to school and I didn't really have people at school who were on a similar journey. And actually my closest group of friends ended up being like a group of Mormon kids from school because they lived such a good life. They were such good people and they motivated me to learn more about my faith and to kind of question like, okay, like why do we do what we do? How can I stand up for my faith? Because they would ask a lot of questions like as Catholics, like why do you do this? Or why do you believe this? Or why not this? You know, and not in a bad way. Like they were never trying to, you know, sway me or debunk my faith, but they were asking questions and they were very knowledgeable about their faith for the age that we were at, being like sophomores and juniors in high school. Like they knew everything about their faith and I knew pretty much close to nothing, I felt like. And sadly, I think that's the case for a lot of Catholics, especially in high school and college. You realize like, I actually don't really know why we do what we do. And so I hope that this podcast can maybe shed some light if we ever get into like theology and stuff like that. But anyways, I don't want to get sidetracked. Basically, these Mormon friends became my really good friends, and they were the first people that really showed me what it looked like to live a Christ-centered life and what it looked like to live a moral life. Because the thing is, most of my school, I felt like was Christian. Like a lot of the kids that I was friends with at my school were all non-denominational Christian. And this is like no hate to non-denominational Christians at all. I've met some really amazing Christian women. But unfortunately, these group of people at my school were kind of living a double life. Like, they didn't really live a good Christian life. These kids at my school that were all Christian were also the ones that were sleeping around with people or partying and getting drunk all the time or getting high. And so I had a hard time finding like a real solid group of people because I only had the one girlfriend who was Catholic and we were getting really close. But then I also wanted to be friends with these other like cool Christian people. But then I was like, I have felt some resistance in my heart because I was like, well, like, this isn't actually very Christian. And then I had the Mormons who were like amazing people. Plus, they were so much fun. And so I just guess I naturally gravitated towards them. And actually, my first serious dating relationship was with one of the guys in that group. And he, along with the girls that I was friends with and the other guys in that group, like, all kind of showed me what it was like to have standards. Like, they always talked about that. They always talked about, like, you know, living a good life and having good standards in your life and living up to what the Lord like made you for. And the thing is, like, I know now, like, truth is captivating, and that was attractive to me. Like, the way they talked about living a good Christian life actually was attractive, and they looked happy and fun and cool. And I was like, okay, like, I want to be like you. And so they made me desire that good moral life. They made me desire my Christian faith more, and they made me really want to dive into my Catholic teaching so that I could, you know, at least stand up for my faith and be like, well, as Catholics, like, we do this and this is why. You know, I wanted to be confident about why I was Catholic. So this friend group was actually a great blessing that the Lord gave me in my life, because if it wasn't for this guy that I dated and the other girls who I became close with in this group, I probably would have partied a lot in high school. I probably would have drank a lot earlier than I did. Probably would have lost my virginity before I was married. And my life would just have looked a lot different starting from high school. And I don't even want to know what college would have been like if I had started high school out that way. So I'm really grateful for that. And I remember all through high school and college, just kind of having that divide in my heart, kind of like I was talking about before, where like, I wanted to be friends with these people, but in my heart, I felt like a resistance. And I felt like there was a divide. Like, I wanted to be in the party scene. I'm just like naturally a social like butterfly. I'm an extrovert. I love making friends. I'm always like, more the merrier. So I like wanted to be where the people were. I wanted to be in the party scene. And I was always looking for validation in boys. I mean, I had like 8 boyfriends in high school, which is a lot. But also part of my heart like knew that Jesus didn't make me for that. You know, I knew in my heart, like, the Lord didn't make me to live that way, and that that wasn't like a full life. So by like senior year in high school, when you're starting to apply to colleges and stuff like that, I knew that I wanted to go to a Catholic school so that I could find that same sort of community that I had with the Mormon people in high school, but with Catholic people, and that I could finally be on a path to live life and pursue Christ with other young Catholic people. And so I chose to go to a Catholic school in Washington State in search for that Catholic community. And oddly enough, sadly enough, there wasn't really a strong Catholic community on that campus. And a lot of the ministry that was offered was, again, like non-denominational Christian type stuff. And a lot of the retreats they offered, they didn't really even have mass or adoration. Adoration was maybe offered once a month. I don't even want to say it was offered that often. It was maybe like once or twice a semester, at least that I knew of. And there was daily mass, but at that point in my life, I wasn't really at a point where I was going to daily mass. And one time I think I tried to go and there was literally like 5 people at daily mass. And I was like, I'm not coming back. And then the people that were going to church every Sunday, because there were a lot of students that went every Sunday, like hundreds of students that went every Sunday, they were the same people who were partying and getting blacked out drunk the nights before Friday and Saturday that weekend. And so I did it with them. You know, I tried to go with the crowd and tried to keep my faith and kind of tried to walk this double life, tried to walk this very fine line of, no, I am that Catholic girl, but I'm also with everybody else because this is what you do in college. And this is my time to be free and make friends and live a full life. And like I said, I'm an extrovert and I just like have always had like a zeal for life and a passion for life. And I didn't want me pursuing my faith to extinguish that zeal that I had for life. And I know now that that's obviously not true. And I know that true zeal and true fullness of life and true joy is found in Christ. But at the time, I thought you had to pick one. I didn't know that a life with Christ could be so wonderful and exciting and beautiful. And unfortunately, it took a really like rock bottom moment in the first semester of my sophomore year where I just had a really bad night out and my best friend sat me down in the kitchen And she was like, hey, like, do you want to talk about last night? And I thought we were going to debrief all the details of the night before, like we usually did on Saturday mornings. And she was like, no, I want to make sure you're okay. Like, are you okay? Like, after everything that happened last night, like, are you okay? And I was surprised by her question because I was very confident in who I was. And I was never someone who was like trying to be like fake or, you know, I wasn't trying to live a double life. And I always tried to own up to my action. So I knew everything that I was doing. And I told her that. I was like, you know, I don't do anything I don't want to do. Like, I'm totally fine. Like, I totally own up to everything I did. And it was just another crazy weekend. And like, yeah, like it was a little bit, you know, worse than normal, but like, I'm fine. Like, everything's fine. And in that moment, the Lord, I think, allowed the Holy Spirit to open my eyes to the severity of the statement that I was making. I think in that moment, the Lord allowed me to hear myself say these words and to realize just how distant I must have gotten from my faith and from that like moral line that I once wanted to live that I didn't even realize the way that I was living. And I realized how not okay I must have been if I was truly okay with the way that I was living. And I'm so grateful that my friend asked me that. And I'm so grateful that the Lord allowed me to have that moment, to have that wake up moment, because the next day I went to confession for the first time in a really long time. And it was a really good confession. It was a confession that I actually felt true remorse for my sins. It wasn't one where I was just saying like, you know, what my sins were, knowing that I was going to do them all the weekend after. No, like I actually truly felt sorrow for the way that I was living and wanted to repent and wanted to leave that life behind. And that was the first time I really ever felt that way. And the priest said something to me that really struck me that day and stuck with me for a long time after that. And the Lord must have just put this on his heart because he didn't know much about me, but he said like, Mari, you want to be married someday, right? And I actually remember he said like, you want to find your prince charming, right? And little did you know, I've always been a hopeless romantic. I love love. I loved princess stories, you know, and the prince when they get married and everything lives happily ever after. Like that was me. And I was like, yeah, of course I want to find my prince charming. Like, of course I want to find a good husband. And he said, and you want that man to be a good Catholic man, right? Like that's what you're looking for. And I was like, yes, I want a great Catholic man to be my husband, future father of my children. Exactly. And he said, my daughter, you need to start being the type of woman that that man would want to marry. Yeah, that was, ouch, that was rough. I remember hearing that and just being like, whoa. Sometimes we need a little help learning about our faith, which is why I use the Ascension app. It's the number one Catholic Bible app that combines the full text of the Great Adventure Catholic Bible, the popular Bible in a Year podcast with Father Mike Schmitz, and over 1,000 frequently asked Bible questions presented with easy-to-understand answers from Catholic teachers you know and love, like Father Mike Schmitz, Jeff Cavins, and Dr. Edward Street. This beautiful app pulls together 2,000 years of Catholic theology in an easy-to-understand way so that you can explore the Catholic Bible, the Catholic Catechism, dozens of Ascension's beloved Catholic Bible studies, and more. And new this year, the Ascension app also features video reflections on the daily Mass readings from hundreds of Catholic creators. A new video drops each day. So what are you waiting for? Download the Ascension app today at www.ascensionapp.com/Mari. Like, low-key, you're kind of saying I'm a bad person. Loki, he was kind of calling me out and I needed that. Honestly, I needed that. And it struck my heart. And like I said, it stuck with me for a while. And he was right. He was right because I was expecting some good Catholic man to see me drunk at a party and want to pursue me. Like that doesn't make any sense actually. And so I realized that I first needed to change and that I needed to work on my relationship with the Lord and rediscover like who he made me to be and what kind of life he wanted for me so that once I had my identity firmly rooted in Christ, then I would actually be available to meet a good Catholic man that would continue to lead me to Christ. And so in that moment, I swore off boys and I decided that I was going to go into a period of my life where I was truly going to focus on my relationship with the Lord, pour into my friendships and just kind of like ignore boys, just like not date anybody, not pursue anybody, not be in any sort of relationship or whatever. And what was crazy, I didn't really tell anybody this. I told my friends, but I didn't really tell my parents or my family. And around the same time, literally just a few days or like a week after that confession and a week after I made that decision, my dad sent me a care package. Maybe it was both my mom and my dad. Like they sent me a care package to school, and in it was a book written by Jason Everett called How to Find Your Soulmate Without Losing Your Soul. I don't know if maybe they knew what was going on or not, but it was very timely that that book ended up in my hands. And I started reading it and I couldn't put it down because I had never heard this concept of chastity and purity be presented so beautifully. And even just like the meaning of a single kiss, which at that point didn't really mean much to me, like was so beautiful and to be respected. And it was just not something I had really experienced at this point in my relationship, but it captured my heart and it was so attractive to me. And I started reading through this book and they listed out kind of like all the red flags or all the like wrong guys to avoid. And I was like, wow, I literally could name a guy for every single one of those chapters that I've met or had a relationship in some way or whatever. And I was like, I need to get it together. That book was a blessing to me because it totally shifted my mindset on purpose of dating and how to prepare for marriage and how to become the godly woman that a wonderful Christian man, wonderful Catholic man would want to marry. And so I started intentionally praying for my future husband every single night. And I had a notes in my phone and I wrote down in the notes like the top characteristics, both like personality traits and physical traits that I wanted in my future husband. And I would pray with it every single night and just ask the Lord, like, Lord, I pray for this future man that you have for me and all these things. I pray that he would be like this and this. And I pray that, you know, whatever it was, that he's strong in his faith and all these things. And I began to pray for him every single night. And if you haven't heard episode 2 yet, where I talk about my relationship with Trey, my story with Trey, then you literally need to go hear that because it ties in back into this phone note that I had with all the characteristics of my future husband. It's so, so crazy how the Lord answered that prayer so specifically. And so from then on, I started to sort of listen to that side of my heart that was nudging me towards good, that was nudging me towards a Christ-centered life, a moral life, to keep good standards in my life. And truly, you know, I know now it was the Holy Spirit just whispering, you know, that the Lord has bigger plans for you. The Lord loves you. The Lord made you for so much more than this. The Lord made you for an abundant life, which in the end is all I was really seeking, was just like this joyful, full life. And it all culminated in this moment of surrender at Mass in January of 2018. So this whole like rock bottom moment, starting to have a change of heart, happened in the fall of my sophomore year. And then second semester, sophomore year, in January, while we were on break, it was January 1st, like New Year's Mass. I went to Mass and I received communion and I knelt down in the pew and I prayed. I don't really know why this prayer came from my heart, but it sort of just like surged from my heart, this prayer of surrender of my life to the Lord. And I remember praying there. I remember closing my eyes and like opening my hands in the pew and just being like, Lord, I surrender my life to you. Like, I know you have made me for more than what I am living right now. I know that you have given me great gifts to be a leader. I know that you've given me like a heart for you and to share you. And I'm not using these gifts. I'm not living this way right now. Please use me. And I prayed that like, Lord, please use me in whatever way you want. And I will do anything you ask me to. Oh my gosh, you guys, that is a dangerous prayer to pray if you are not ready to actually follow through on that commitment, because the Lord takes you up on that. And he took me up on that. I remember praying like, Lord, if I have to change my friends and drop my friends, I will do that. If I have to drop schools and move across the country, if that's what you want me to do, I'll do it. If I have to get up and speak in front of a, you know, million people, I will do that. And I don't really know why I said those specific things, but looking at my life now, that's kind of what I'm doing. I moved away from where I was living to be in a more Catholic community. I have this platform speaking to thousands of people about the Lord and Christ-centered living. So when I say be careful when you pray for those things, I mean it, because the Lord will take you up on that. Nothing brings more joy to the Lord than a soul that surrenders their life to him, opens their hands and says, use me as an instrument to bring people to you. I mean, it is just, it's a gift. And he did that. And so after that prayer, all of a sudden, I started hearing about this organization called Focus. I'd never heard of Focus before. And after that day, all of a sudden, so many people in my life just would randomly bring up Focus, and they had never brought it up before. And these were people who I saw often. And they were just like, oh, yeah, like I just like went to this like Focus conference, or like, oh, yeah, have you heard of this Focus thing that's going on different college campuses, or like whatever. Like it just kept getting brought up over and over again. And so I felt like I had to look into it. And I did. I went home and I Googled like Focus, you know, Fellowship of Catholic University Students. What is this? And I learned about the ministry that they did and how they brought missionaries to college campuses to make a more vibrant Catholic community and to build up disciples. And I was like, this is it. Like, this is what I need to do. I need to be a missionary. I didn't really know what that actually meant. I didn't know that that was like a job after you graduated. So as a sophomore in college, I literally applied to be a missionary. And I remember there's like a couple questions like, are you ready to move to a different state, or are you ready to commit for 2 years? And I didn't check those boxes because I was like, well, I'm a student, so I don't really know how that's supposed to work, but get back to me and we'll figure something out. And I just had this desire to serve, and I had this love for the Lord, and I had this love for his people and for bringing him to his people that just like started to grow and grow and grow. And so I came back to campus after break with this idea of Focus, of wanting to bring them to my campus and start Bible studies and bring missionaries and have this vibrant community that I wish that I had when I got there, so that all these other students that were coming for the same reason wouldn't get lost in this, like, you know, wild, degenerate party culture that pretty much every college campus has on its campus right now. And unfortunately, they weren't able to bring Focus on at that time, but they did encourage me to start my own Bible studies. And that's where I met Trey. We met because we both wanted to start Bible studies together. And again, all those details are in episode 2. So go and listen to that to get the full scoop. But basically, we started leading these Bible studies together and we started pursuing Christ together. And even though we were really diving into our faith, I was still sort of had like one foot kind of in like the party culture and most of my body, I think, in the Christ-centered world. But I was still kind of like, oh, I'm not fully ready to let go of all this stuff yet, because that's the way my friends were living too. And that's like what we did, until I got an internship with Focus. I think this was probably the first or second year that they even offered internships. And I moved to Colorado for the summer. And that summer changed my entire life. That summer changed my entire life, because for the first time, I met other women my age who were on fire for their faith and who actually were striving to live a Christ-centered life. And they modeled for me what that looked like. And they taught me how to pray. And they walked with me as I tried to figure out how to let go of these sins that I had. And actually, I remember having a lot of conversations with them where they would kind of tell me about how, like, yeah, like, we don't do these things with our boyfriends, or like, no, we don't get drunk, or like, no, I'm not drinking till I'm 21. And I remember thinking like, oh, I'm so going to crack them by the end of this summer. Like, they're so faking it. Like, they just did that to get this job. Like, they just say that to get like the Catholic internship, you know, but like, there's no way they're actually living this way. Like, everybody parties in college. Everybody like hooks up with people in college, like all this stuff, right? I didn't believe them. And the more I got to know them over the summer, we became really good friends. And the more I got to see that they were not lying. This was not a persona that they were putting on. This was like actually how they were striving to live their life. And what was so baffling to me was that they were so cool and normal and fun. Like, they were like such fun girls that I totally would have wanted to be friends with, even if they weren't Catholic or even if we weren't at this internship. And so they just lived this attractive life that I was like, all right, like, if you're doing it and you say it's possible and you're so fun and joyful and cool, like, I think I have to hop on board. Like, I think I have to try. And so I took that summer to start changing my life and to start living a more Christ-centered life and to let go of these mortal sins that I was living in. And I remember Trey was kind of going through similar things on his own as well. And we had a lot of conversations that summer of like, okay, what are we going to change in our relationship and in our friendships and in the way we live? And it was the start of a whole new life for me. And that summer, I got to know who Christ was, because for the first time ever, I spent an hour in prayer every single day. Like, that's what you do on these Focus internships besides working. Like, you have an hour of prayer and adoration every single day. You have mass every single day. You pray the rosary every single day. I think you also have the opportunity to pray the Divine Mercy chaplet every single day. It's kind of crazy, But the thing is, graces are so real, you guys. Your soul can't help but be transformed when you are in the presence of Christ and receiving Him and in community with such amazing people every single day. And so that summer was huge for me. And right after that summer, I was going abroad to study abroad in Italy. So I wasn't going back to campus. And I was already a little bit nervous about going abroad because all my friends were science majors and I don't know, they weren't able to go abroad. So I wasn't really going abroad with a lot of friends. I had like one, maybe two girls that I knew and that I was friends with abroad. So I was already nervous about not really knowing people. But looking back, I know now that the Lord set that up for me to give me the space to start living into this like new life, this like new and renewed Mari that I had turned into that summer and that I had discovered that summer. He gave me that space abroad where I wasn't surrounded by the people that knew me well and that like had a certain expectation of who I was and the way that I lived. And it gave me an opportunity to start fresh and to commit to these things that I was all of a sudden striving for in my life. And I remember that it was hard. I remember that there were people who like knew of me and knew who I was and were expecting me to like go out all the time and party big and all that kind of stuff. And I don't know, it was a little bit of a lonely time, but it was also a very beautiful time of intimacy with the Lord because I didn't have a lot of people to turn to. And by the grace of God, I would go to the chapel and I would pray like every day and have this like prayer routine that I was building in my life and continuing that consistency from the summer, but on my own now. And so before I came back to school after that semester abroad, I remember I texted my friends and we had this whole conversation because I was like, I need to sort of let them know like what my life looks like now and what they can expect when I go back to campus, because I had to tell them like how it was going to be and that I wasn't going to get drunk anymore and that I wouldn't be drinking till I was 21 and that I was going to be spending time praying every single day and really focusing on my faith and my relationship with the Lord. And I was nervous to tell them because there was obviously that possibility that they wouldn't like that. And that they wouldn't like this new Mari and that they would leave or abandon me or whatever. But they didn't. And they are still my best friends today. Praise God. They totally received me. And I'll say that it was maybe hard for them to swallow at first. They were like, okay, like, are we still going to like have fun, you know? And I was like, of course, like, we're not going to stop being friends. And I'm not asking you to change your whole life, although if you want to, like, join me, but like, I'm not judging you. I'm not asking you to change your life. I'm not, you know, imposing any of my decisions on you, but I'm just sharing like where I'm at right now. And luckily, they totally received me and supported me. And they're like, your relationship with God is really important. And if that's what you want to focus on, then like, we're going to support you in that. And the beautiful thing is, slowly, I did see their hearts change. Slowly, we had so many more conversations about our faith and we started doing Bible study together. And my best friend actually entered into the Catholic Church. She was baptized and confirmed, and I'm her godmother. And it was a beautiful season where my growth was able to open doors for my friends as well, for them to dive into their relationship with Jesus. And what's crazy, you guys, is that the Lord showed me so much grace in this season. I look back and I truly don't know how I did it, because even now I feel like living a good spiritual life and staying committed to prayer and the sacraments, like, can be really hard to be consistent. But back then, I don't know, like, I was given so much grace and so much confidence in my decisions. I didn't sway on my decisions. And for some reason, literally by the grace of God, I would get up every single morning an hour before class to go to the student chapel that was on campus and pray at the chapel for literally 60 minutes every single day before class. I would read saint books. So I read St. Faustina's Diary and Story of a Soul. I read a book about St. John Paul II. I did a lot of 30-day scripture challenges. So I was constantly reading the Gospels and doing Lectio Divina and really learning what mental prayer was, what contemplative prayer was, and just having like conversations with the Lord where I felt like for the first time ever, He was listening to me and I could like feel the movements of His will in my heart. And it was a beautiful, beautiful time of grace. And I was just like in a remote spiritual universe somehow. And my heart continued to grow in love for the Lord and continued to kind of be set on fire even more for sharing the gospel and for evangelizing and bringing other people into this experience that I had found. I just felt like I had hit the jackpot and that everybody else had to know about it. Because the thing is, like I said, like I always wanted to live this abundant life and I always had this zeal for life. And my fear was that if I lived a Christ-centered life, I would lose that. But instead, what I found was that I had never been so much more me, so much more like Mari than when I found Christ. And when I was starting to live this Christ-centered life, I was like, wow, like I am so much more joyful. I have so much more freedom in my life. Like I am so confident in who I am. And I could feel people like being attracted to me in some way and just being like, what does she have? Like what is going on in her life? You know, people would question like, what is going on with Mari? Like what is going on in her life? And the answer really was just the Lord. And so I started to follow this desire that I had to evangelize and started to listen to that prompting. And I started a few Bible studies on campus and I started an Instagram blog, which at the time was called West Coast Catholic. When I was going through my deeper conversion in college, I kind of had a devotion to Mary, but I hardly ever prayed the rosary. That was before my boyfriend, now husband Trey, handmade me this beautiful rosary as a gift one day. It was so beautiful and made with so much intentionality that I just wanted to carry it around with me everywhere. And then it actually led me to pray the rosary so much more. And we know the graces from the rosary are endless. Beauty truly does lead people to God. And wanting everybody else to have this experience, I started West Coast Catholic to create beautiful and intentionally designed products that help lead people to Christ. So if you're like me and maybe you struggle to pray the rosary, head on over to West Coast Catholic to get yourself one of our stunning rosaries, and I promise it will change your prayer life. We have sold tens of thousands of rosaries, and we get countless reviews of how beautiful they are, how durable they are, because you know there's nothing more annoying than having your rosary break all the time, and how much it has helped people get closer to Jesus through Mary. Head on over to our website, westcoastcatholic.co, and make sure to follow us on Instagram at West Coast Catholic. And I recently switched it to my name, which is my current Instagram blog at mari.c.wagner. And on that blog, I just started to share what my faith life was like as a college student. I called it West Coast Catholic because, like you heard in my story earlier, I felt like I was kind of like the only Catholic person on the West Coast. And I knew that there had to be other women out there like me who felt alone, but who loved the Lord and just had no idea how to live a good Christian life. And so I stepped out in boldness. Again, this was totally the Lord giving me the grace to do this. I don't know why I wasn't like totally freaking out, but I wasn't. And I started this blog and I just started to share about my faith life. And I just started to share about my prayer and reflections on what I thought about my faith and the Lord and sharing about how I was living in chastity and virtue and inspiring other people to hopefully make these decisions in their life. And all of this, my blog and me being a Bible study leader and intentionally investing in the girls that were in my Bible studies and getting coffee with them and all these things, this like what I know is now called mission work was like taking over my life. And I was like, oh my gosh, school is really getting in the way of all my Bible study planning meetings and my coffee dates with my girls and my blogging and all this kind of stuff. And I knew that the Lord was calling me to continue to live mission. I mean, he's calling all of us to live mission in some way, but he was really intentionally calling me to devote my life to making him known and to sharing the gospel with people. And so later that senior year of college, I committed to being a Focus missionary with Focus, and I was placed at UNL in Lincoln, Nebraska. And I continued to do that kind of work, and it was beautiful and wonderful. And I love those years as a missionary. And if I didn't have West Coast Catholic, our Catholic lifestyle business, and if that hadn't grown so much, I probably would have done more years as a Focus missionary. Trey and I were growing our business, which we also launched in college, and that'll have to be a whole nother episode, but it was growing. And, you know, we were just dedicated to helping people experience a foretaste of heaven through the products that we were creating. And I was trying to create content as well to inspire people to seek Christ, to live a Christ-centered life, really in hopes that somebody would encounter it and finally feel like they were known and that they belong, just like I felt that one summer where I finally met women like me. And that is still my hope and is still my goal and my mission with everything that I create. I pray for you constantly, and I pray for the women who were in the same place that I was. And, you know, I pray for the girl who's 19 and struggling with all these questions in her life and wrestling with what is right and wrong and what the Lord is calling her to do. And I hope that she finds my content and is inspired and sees that you can live a beautiful Christian life and be in college and be relatable and fun. Or maybe a woman who's 25 and she's newly married, or she's trying to figure out adult life in the working world and trying to figure out how to stay strong in her faith in the midst of a modern world that is so anti-Christian. Or maybe you're listening and you're in your 30s and you're a young wife and a young mom and you're wanting to learn how to bring the Catholic faith to life in your home, how to root your family and your marriage in Christ and raise your kids in the faith. Whoever you are, know that I'm praying for you and know that I hope and I pray that my content can help make you feel seen and known and that you belong here and that you're not alone and that you can change and that a life with Christ is so beautiful and so worth it, because it is. And I've experienced that every day since the day that I surrendered my life to the Lord. And it has been a continual surrender. It's not just a one-time thing. And I continue to experience highs and lows. I look back at my story and I see those times where there was so much grace that covered me and so much grace in the moments where I was learning to pray and learning about my faith and that zeal that I had. And that was such a good and beautiful time, but it isn't always like that. There's highs and there's lows and there's times where prayer is really hard and I question the Lord and I ask him why he's doing the things that he's doing in our lives. And I have to recenter and, you know, go back to the saints or go back to scripture and remind myself of the truth. So know that I am like right there with you. Like I don't have it figured out. I'm still on this journey and I'm still every day coming to know the Lord's heart more and more and learning to surrender my life more and more and to find more of that peace and that joy that he offers to all of us when we give our life to him. So that's my story, you guys. Thanks for being here. And if you've gotten this far, props to you. We're probably close to an hour, but that's my story. And truly to this day, I feel so humbled and grateful that the Lord has given me a place to share it. I don't know why the Lord has called me to share it in such big ways and with so many people. And it's crazy to know that thousands of people will hear this. But like I said, I pray that it moves your heart. I pray that it motivates you, that it inspires you to change something in your life, to maybe listen to that nudge of the Holy Spirit that you have been feeling in your heart or that call that you know the Lord has been waiting for you to take. And I hope most of all that it motivates you to get off your phone and get off your screen and go to the chapel and spend time with Jesus. That is the biggest thing that I have learned in my life and through this whole process is that prayer is what makes our relationship with the Lord. And it is the number one thing that I recommend that you focus on if you are trying to grow in your faith is pray, pray, pray. Go to the chapel, go to adoration, seek the sacraments, spend time with Jesus, time in silence, time to allow him to speak to you in the silence of your heart and let him transform your heart, transform your life. I know that if you let him, that if you open your heart to him, he will do that. All right, we need to wrap this up because it's going to get really long. But before we go, can we just end in a prayer? Please, can I just pray for you right here, right now? Let's just pray. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit, amen. Come, Holy Spirit. Come fill this room. Come fill the heart of your daughter or your son who is listening to this right now. I thank you for the gift of their life and for the way that you have called them to live virtuously, to live joyfully, to live in surrender to you, and to live out the plan that you so beautifully have crafted for them in their life. I pray, Lord, for any resistance that they have in their hearts, anything that is making them push you away or anything that is making them nervous or scared to approach you, Lord, that you would just remove that you would show them that you are gentle, that you are good, that you are faithful, and that all you want to do is love and provide and bless them in their life. And I pray, Lord, also for all those who feel this burning in their heart after hearing this, for all those whose hearts are just set afire and wanting to do similar work, wanting to go out and do mission and make you known, Lord, that you would give them the gifts and the courage to go out and do so. And we ask this all through the intercession of your most holy mother. We ask Mary that you would intercede for us and protect us and bring us closer to your son. As we pray, Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen. Thank you so much for listening in. If you've enjoyed this episode, please share it with your friends and on social media and give me a 5-star rating on whatever podcast platform you're listening on. That helps me and the show out so much. Also, make sure to follow the podcast on Instagram at everbepodcast. And if you want more content like this and you don't already follow me, you can also follow me on Instagram at mari.c.wagner. and may his praise ever be on our lips. God bless.